Hello, everyone. I am Shannon Mondor, a life coach, published author, public speaker, and Reiki practitioner. I am so excited to be a part of your day. With each episode, I will read passages from my debut book, How in the Hell Did I Get Here? Forever Changing the Genetic Blueprint, and take you through my experiences of addiction, mental illness, sobriety, and the life lessons that I learned on my road to healing. I am brutally honest and speak my truth, and that is how I keep you intrigued as I talk openly about my feelings, my life views, and what it takes to stay sober in a culture that normalizes alcohol. I will help you to find your power within, teach you to learn and want to invest in yourself as I discuss self-image, goal setting, decision-making, faith, and much more life-changing topics. Let me be clear when it comes to fear. Without a doubt, fear is the number one indication that you must push through that barrier. The only way growth, success, and confidence is developed is when you break through the fear. Embrace fear. Get outside your comfort zone and introduce something new into your life. From that you grow, you learn, and you teach. We are God's greatest creation. So let's create. Hello, everybody, and welcome to episode 3. I'm your host, Shannon Mondor. If you just started listening to my Fear Fighter podcast, welcome. You're going to love it and you will learn a lot. I do ask that you go back to the beginning episodes as I am reading from my book, How in the Hell Did I Get Here? Forever Changing the Genetic Blueprint, that you can purchase off Amazon, my website, or you can just continue listening to it here each week. Point being, I don't want you to miss out. Now let's get started reading the next chapter. Then I will get into a lengthy discussion as this is a big learning lesson for me and will help anyone that has suffered abuse. At my brother's mercy. So now that I've given you a bit of my family history, you know that I was brought up in a very dysfunctional and abusive home. This will make it easier for you to comprehend the rest. This is where I begin the story of my personal journey. My turmoil actually started in the womb when my mother was pregnant with me. I'm not sure if you realize, but we are all vibrational beings. When we are in the womb, we feel and sense everything that is taking place in our mother's life and her surroundings. We feel every thought, feeling, and emotion that our mother has. We are one. What affects her also affects the fetus. All the pain, fear, and chaos my mother endured was already placed into my energy field before I was born. I was a vibrational wreck before I entered this world. I didn't stand a chance. With the passing of my father, my mother was left to raise the last 6 of us children. As our 2 older siblings had already left the house, my oldest brother, Walter, was 20 when father passed away. Prior to his passing, father had disowned him. My father could see well in advance what direction Walter was headed in life. Dad tried to steer him in the right direction, as the one thing my dad was not was a liar and a cheat, and he could see that Walter was all that and more. Walter wasn't changing his ways, so Dad kicked him out of our lives, and he was not allowed back on our farm. What my father didn't see or understand was that Walter was just a product of the years of abuse that he had endured. He was a product of what my father did to him. My brother was broken, scared, fearful, ashamed, and beaten down. How does a person recover from that? This was devastating for my mother, as this was her firstborn and the one person she looked to for support and protection. Once Dad died, Walter became a part of our lives again and was there to help Mother with us children. He was her lifeline, and he never strayed too far from her, which made our lives a living hell. In my mother's eyes, Walter could do no wrong, and she cast a blind eye to the person he really was. Her feelings of remorse for what Dad did to him overshadowed the person he had become. She could only see the common abuse that they both witnessed together, and that was their bond. Now that Mother had become numb to the abuse, she became my brother's enabler. She felt sorry for him, and she had a twisted and sick response to his abusive behavior. It was almost like she was his partner in crime as she sat back and watched what he was doing to the rest of us siblings. In her eyes, his victim somehow deserved the abuse, and he was never to blame. With the reputation that my last name carried due to my father's shenanigans and now my older brother's delinquent tendencies, I was judged even before people knew me. I was Lewis Shad's daughter, or that Shad girl. People looked down on me, and I knew it, and I felt it. All of us were looked at as trash. Everyone knew the stories about my family. How could they not? My older siblings just seemed to run our family name even more into the ground as each one grew up. Growing up in a small town, everyone knew each other's business. So when my sister became pregnant at the age of 14, that was big news. I remember being asked about it by my schoolmates when I was in grade 3. I didn't even know where babies came from. I hated my last name. And most of all, I hated being judged for what my other family members had done. I hated when people talked about the stories that were out there about my family. I was so embarrassed. There are so many reasons I don't have any happy memories from my childhood. Walter was always around, and I could never stop being fearful of him. I can remember eating an ice cream cone, and he took it and smashed it into my face, thinking it was so funny. If I cried, he would get upset and slap me on the side of the head and tell me to toughen up. If I couldn't quit crying, he would hit me more until I stopped. It was his way of not taking blame for hurting me. I didn't have many dolls to play with back then, but what few I had, I remember thinking they were the most beautiful things ever. They were my escape. Every doll I had, Walter had taken a pen and drawn genitals on them. He would rip the arms, legs, and head off of them and laugh. I remember this so vividly. He thought it was the funniest thing ever. This was a man in his 20s, and I was a child in elementary school. This is the type of insanity I was exposed to on a daily basis, and it was normalized. How absurd is that? Walter took great pleasure in torturing me and my sisters. He was very, very cruel. He fed off of us fearing him. He loved having that power over us. Fear, anxiety, and hatred toward him is all I can remember when he was around. We were easy targets for his abuse, as we couldn't protect ourselves and had nobody to stand up for us. There was never a time I can remember walking by him that he didn't hit, punch, or pinch one of us girls. I was always scared and on guard, as he might swing a hand upside my face just because he felt like it. He enjoyed abusing us as we were too scared to fight back, and if we did, we knew that he would beat the living shit right out of us. I wished him dead many times in my thoughts, but my prayers were never answered. The mental abuse was just as bad. As young children, Walter called us stupid, dumb idiots, and that was just the beginning of the name-calling. As we got older, the names became much more vulgar. If you can imagine it, we were called it, and it didn't matter who was listening. He would call me and my sisters lazy, good-for-nothing sluts, or bitches. Anything he could say to knock us down, he would. Any word used to degrade us gave him more power over us, and I actually started to believe his words. All my self-esteem was taken away from me as a child. I felt ugly, dirty, and was full of fear. I remember a time that Walter went after my older sister when she was finally starting to defend herself. She was in grade 6, and I was in grade 3. He pushed her down a flight of stairs and punched and kicked her as she fell. I ran as fast as I could to help her. I was beyond filled with rage, and I jumped on his back as he continued pounding her with his fist. I was screaming at him, begging to stop hurting her. and I was biting him and pulling on his hair with all my might to get him off of her. The sad thing is, when it was over, he had no remorse. That is the type of violence that was normalized in our house growing up. There are so many incidents of his abuse that I lost count over the years. Many of our Christmases and family events were filled with tension, and most ended with fighting or violence of some sort. He would pick fights with our two other brothers, and the evening would be ruined no matter how much fun we had as a family, which was rare. As my elder siblings got married and started to have children, our family gatherings became less and less frequent. They didn't want their wives or children exposed to the violence. Eventually, our family broke apart. Family gatherings ended for good, and many of us no longer saw or talked to one another. As I was the youngest and still living with Mom, I had no choice but to still have my brother in my life. Even when Mother remarried, he still had that grip on her. Eventually, putting a wedge between Mother and her new husband, and after 6 short years of marriage, they got a divorce. At this time, I was in grade 11, and I was called out of class and told to pack my school belongings. Mom told me I was moving to Weyburn. I was pulled out of school just like that. No chance to even say goodbye to my friends who were my saving grace. Mother packing up and moving was by now a regular occurrence. We never stayed in one house or town for very long. From the time I was born, I felt I never had a stable home. I moved from the family farm to my grandparents' home in Radville, then to Regina, back to Radville, and then Weyburn. Once we moved to Weyburn, we moved from house to another house, then to an apartment, and back to another house. Walter always came up with these great ideas for Mother, and she did what he told her to do, as she thought he knew best. Our financial situation was a nightmare growing up. When my father died, Mother sold the farm, and we lived in a new trailer that Mother had bought with the money. Dad had left in his inheritance that when each of us children turned 18, we were to receive $10,000. But somehow, the will was manipulated, and Walter was given all of our inheritance money. To this day, we are still unclear how this took place, and Mother will not discuss how he got access to our inheritance. It wasn't long before Mother was left with nothing either. Walter always had a business plan. He knew how to manipulate people, and he did it well. So here I was, starting a new school, and once again, starting over. Mother was in financial ruin, and we were on government social assistance. Whatever money was received, Walter continued to take. I remember asking my mother for money to buy school supplies and clothing, and my brother belittling me. He was adamant that I should get a job, as he believed that I should be paying Mom rent. I was in grade 11. Who pays their parents rent in high school? Eventually, I went to social services to report my mother for not providing for me and tell them about the abuse that was happening. At this time, Walter was going through a nasty divorce and was living with us, which social services was unaware of. Mother was confronted regarding the situation, but she wasn't honest with them, as she knew she would lose all her financial support, plus the support she was receiving for me as a dependent. This was the beginning of my drinking and depression. I recall partying and getting drunk every chance I could get. Back then, it was what we did. I took it to the extreme, but didn't realize it at the time. As it turned out, after making my report, I started receiving financial assistance directly from social services, and my mother lost that extra income that was meant to provide for me. That was pretty much the day that my mother disowned me, and I moved in with my other brother and his wife. I would say this was when my drinking and partying started to get out of control. I was at one of the lowest points in my life, and I was spinning out of control. I felt like I had no one to talk to, and most of all, I felt very alone and unloved. I had always been very athletic, but I was no longer good enough to get on the sports teams. My self-confidence was shattered. Playing sports was my escape from my home life. I lost my drive and ambition, but didn't realize what was happening. I was looking for attention and popularity in all the wrong places, and eventually I made a reputation for myself. I was very oblivious to what was happening to me. I can remember just wanting to sleep and never wake up. So I went into my brother's garage and crawled into his car. As I was lying on the seat, I was imagining how peaceful life would be if I just turned on the ignition and fell asleep for eternity. My brother and sister-in-law searched for me for many hours, but never thought to look in the garage, and especially not the car. I slept there for hours. This was when I started to not care about my life at all. It was the fall of grade 12 year, and I was no longer liked at my school. So I begged to go to a private Christian school that was located just out of the city. I was accepted, along with two other girls, as a day student. I was lucky to have the twins as friends, as they were how I got to the school. I don't even remember the drive out there, except for the kindness of the twins and their mother. As days and weeks passed, I struggled to get out of bed and make it to school, and my anxiety and depression were at an all-time high. I would sleep for hours and never had any energy. I had a part-time job, and that became my focus, since I felt like a total failure when it came to school. I was flunking out, scared, and I didn't want to talk to anyone because I felt stupid and ashamed. I was too far gone by then to graduate, which was a harsh reality that was almost too unbearable to handle. Everyone I knew was getting ready to celebrate this huge life milestone and dressed up in their pretty dresses. I was cloaked in darkness and hatred towards myself, wishing I was living another life. What I wouldn't have done to be a part of the whole graduation experience. One of my biggest regrets still to this day. Looking back to that time, I didn't have anyone in my life who cared enough to see what was happening to me. The really sad thing is, no one, and I mean no one, in my family even noticed I didn't graduate. If they did, there was no mention of it. That was June of 1987, and the start of me getting the hell away from my family as fast as I could. I finished school one day, and the next, I packed my bags, and I moved to Regina. In closing of this chapter, many of you are probably very sickened by the actions of my brother. Imagine being in my shoes. On that note, I strongly believe that many of you listeners here, you know exactly the type of pain that I was going through, and you know what I'm talking about. My abuse as a child scarred me for life, and I was robbed of my childhood. My brother stole everything innocent about me and turned it into fear, insecurity, and made me doubt everything as I lost trust in everything and everyone. His physical abuse was nothing compared to the damage he caused within me. A bruise here and there heals, but the wounds that are left within take a lifetime to heal. But it is my responsibility to heal from those wounds, and I know that. And I want everybody to hear out there, it was my responsibility to heal from those wounds. This is my learning lesson, to become the person I am meant to be. I know that. And this is why I spread my word, have put myself out into the world, and I have become vulnerable. Those of you that are listening and are still in the feel sorry for me stage or the blame game, it is time for you to heal, as the only one that is hurting is you. It is your responsibility to start the healing process. Besides my brother being a complete asshole, I was abused because I was an easy target that was unable to defend myself. My brother knew he had me in a position that he had all control over me and my environment. his threats, anger outbursts, and demeaning language towards me played in his favor for me to keep me silent. He knew Mother would do nothing, as her actions definitely confirmed it. My siblings also endured his abuse, but the older ones were old enough to protect themselves, and they knew to stay away. As a child, I didn't see the truth of what my brother really was, or actually any person who abuses others. I was always led to believe that I deserved what I got because I didn't listen, do something quick enough, or for some reason or another, but it had been my fault. It wasn't till years later that I understood the abuse and anger towards me is not actually meant for me, but it is the anger in whatever was going inside my brother that he was wanting to get out. His anger and fits of rage was all about him, not me, or anyone that he laid a hand on. He was a walking time bomb of self-destruction. This is what he learned from my father and just continued with the abuse to the next generation. I also came to the realization that my brother is one of the weakest, saddest, unhappy, angry, and pathetic individuals that I have ever known and probably will ever know. To be that weak of a person, to take total satisfaction of intentionally hurting a child or anyone to gain some sort of power or self-satisfaction is beyond sickening to me. To not be a man and face his problems, but instead feel he should make everyone hurt like him, is beyond selfish and so cowardly. He actually enjoyed being cruel, as I can remember his smug laugh, thinking he was so fucking funny. What is even more shocking is people knew what he was like, and they did nothing. They accepted him for who he was and let it be. I think the majority knew he was crazy, so it was just easy to ignore. So in reality, he is not the only one to blame. So many others put a blind eye to his conduct. The silence from others only gave him more power over the years to do more harm to others, as he manipulated, abused, and completely damaged so many other lives. The abuser's pattern is always the same. It almost becomes a high for them. How many of you can relate to what I am saying that have also endured child abuse or spousal abuse? As I look back, I strongly believe that he was placed in my life for one of the biggest reasons I was sent to Earth to learn besides forgiveness. I really believe it was for compassion and also understanding. Compassion for me to want to look deeper into the reasoning of why he became the way he did. And from there, I was able to understand why he was the way he was. Because believe me, there is no way that I would get to where I am today if I didn't have that. This is where I was then able to allow forgiveness in, because I couldn't have that unless I understood compassion and understanding. Also, this has allowed me to have compassion, and I also have understanding now towards myself. This is what led me to really understand myself and who I was and wanted to be in the future. Our youth is where the creation of our self-image begins. It begins with the five sensory factors of see, hear, touch, smell, and taste. This is how we get our information from the outside world. His abuse was my information, which eventually became ingrained into my subconscious mind. From there, I truly had the belief system that I was not worthy, I was ugly, stupid, and so much more. His actions and words became my belief system. I would have never come to this unless I experienced it, which brought me to learn and become intrigued about self-help, human behavior, and potential. I was determined to make myself happy, and along the way, I found out who I am, what I want in life, and the person I want to be. This is how I was brought on my path to find my love and passion for helping others and being a life coach. Because once you understand you, with my help and training, you will accomplish anything and everything you want. If any of you want to discuss more in depth on this topic or any other, interested in booking a consult for my online coaching business, which focuses on personal development, so you can get to know who you really are, how you can make huge changes in your life, or create the life you only dreamt about, contact me on my website or email me at info@shannonmondor.com. I ask that you please do two very important things for me. Subscribe so you never miss a podcast and leave a review. All you do is scroll down and it is all available next to my contact info. Chat soon.